Hello, folks. Hey, good morning, afternoon, whenever you're watching this. We're back. We're back. I wish we had the production value to put the applause. But we're back. We're super pumped to be back. Let's just confront, right, before we move on, the elephant in the room. Yes, we have new channel art and my face is on it. Just to put it out there, you know, I'm not some egotistical, narcissistic, you know, crazy guy who loves his face. In fact, if you know me, there is literally no proof like I exist because there's no pictures of me anywhere. I make it sure so that's the case. Now, I'm not on the run or anything. In fact, I actually keep the law really well, but I just like my face. But we did it because, of course, this podcast is called Let's Talk Common Sense with Mike Omanee. And people always ask me, like, who's Mike Omanee? Because on the poster, there's just like, there's a racially ambiguous cartoon, which could be anybody. So now you know who Mike Omanee is. And hopefully we can add more personality. That's another thing someone told me when we had a meeting about the podcast. They were like, oh, you just your personality isn't coming through. This is me, folks. Okay, this is actually me. This is my personality. Yes, you know, I get called all sorts. A robot, R2-D2. I mean, the jokes are just iterations of that. But this is indeed me. So hopefully over the next few weeks or so, as we got some, we've got some amazing guests lined up for you, by the way. Hopefully you can see more of my personality, which obviously I've been hiding. Anyways, let's get straight into this wonderful show. If you're on your way to work or in the gym, this is going to be a cracker. Of course, not really, because coronavirus is killing people, but we'll talk about that in a minute. This podcast is brought to you by the Common Sense Network, and at the Common Sense Network, we do one thing, which is create online spaces and offline spaces for folks who don't see eye to eye to come together and learn from each other. That's what we do. That wasn't the sound, by the way. That was just me. But let's start with some top stories. I'm going to start by just giving you a coronavirus update. As you know, I've been so scared of this virus. I mean, folks in the office know I don't shake anyone's hand. I don't hug people because I just suspect they have it. And people always tell me, oh, I don't have it, Mike. It's just a cough. Well, listen, in the season we're in, I can't take chances. So I don't want to take a chance on you, right? But some updates for you. A total of 83,862 cases have been confirmed now around the world. 2,867 people have died. And now the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, I still can't believe he is, but he is holding a COVID-19 COBRA meeting. That's those emergency meetings he holds to discuss what the UK's response will be, or the government's response rather, will be to this virus. You know, just to make it even more scary, to just dramatize this even more, it's now in Manchester. It's in Bury. So it's literally a few miles from here. I can't believe it. I thought I was going to get away with it, but it's not. It's coming for me. I can feel it. Now, schools in the UK have been closed, some for more than 2 months now. Well, no, they haven't been closed. This is what's being forecasted. They may be closed for more than 2 months if the outbreak intensifies. This is what England's chief medical officer said. Two people are being monitored, or the two people rather, who are being monitored on the cruise ship. One has died. And there's about 39 cases now in the UK. So it's scary. I've got here a list of just stats about it, which I don't want to read out and bore you. What I do want to do, however, is give you some hope. All right? It's very, very sad. I've been watching lots of documentaries about this because I've just been really worried. But here's the hope. Researchers think, right, that between the 5 and the 40 coronaviruses... let me get this clear. Researchers think I'm struggling here. They say, this is so sad, I'm about to give you good news and I'm struggling. It shows you it's not really good news. But apparently only about 1% of people who contract coronavirus will actually die, right? So they currently think between 5 and 40 cases in 1,000 will lead to death, which means you might actually be okay. Well, you will probably be okay. So if you get it and you're young and you go to the, you know, gym, you like a jog, you know, you're kind of an active person, you'll be okay. right? You'll be okay. But one thing that that annoys me is when people say stuff like, oh, you're more likely to die walking in the street. Yeah, that doesn't help. When people give all these stats, you know, I don't like flying, for instance. And I remember a friend telling me, oh, well, statistically, you're more likely to die getting hit by a truck. I would rather get hit by a truck than my plane crash into some random mountain. So that doesn't really help me when people say that. But there you go. Other than that, over the weekend, Greta Thunberg has now led 30,000 people, school children in Bristol, for a green climate protest. As you know, she kind of travels around the world now. This is what she does. It's kind of sad. Like, she's not in school, and I'm just really worried for her. But anyways, she travels around, and she's on this tour, and she led 30,000 people, which by any stretch is really, really amazing. Thousands of children, they basically closed down Bristol city centre and joined Greta Thunberg on a mass school strike over climate change. Protesters, some of them, I can't believe they're calling them protesters, but some of them was younger six and they weathered the heavy rain, pardon the pun, and gathered outside College Green, where they were waiting to be addressed by Greta, who's 17 years old, by the way. But what I want to talk about, and I want to get my guests' thoughts on this as well, is something I saw on Twitter, actually, because she trended Greta Thunberg just last week because of what she had said about baby boomers, you know, kind of essentially older people. She's well known for saying older people have failed us. They failed us. And you know, I tweeted a really interesting graphic. You can follow me on Twitter, Mike Omnis, yes. And it was of, you know, people standing and enjoying, you know, life as it were. And then under them was the bodies of lots and lots of people who had basically died and fought in wars to make it so that we could have the world we live in today. Do you think all these young climate change protesters, right, do they actually understand? When they say, we've been failed by the previous generation, yes, in part. But also, you are living and you have your freedom on the backs of historical sacrifices people have made. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on this, Famous?
I think it's basically, from what you just said, like, they speak in part. They don't really know the whole story, and I guess they don't do enough research in that area. We live in a generation where everything is, you know, in your, like, just instant. Like, they've not basically done research, and I think that's what the problem is. And they need to show a bit more appreciation for those who have come before them and before us. I would say even I'm still
yeah young. Yeah. All the sacrifices you've made, right?
Yeah,
for them to be able to. I mean, she's 17. You're 25.
Yeah,
25. Yeah. Well, we'll meet Famous in a minute. Another crazy thing that was meant to happen actually was Storm George was meant to terrorize us. Now in Manchester, it was very warm. I didn't really kind of noticed Storm George, but it was meant to be 70 miles per hour winds and gales, and I didn't see it, but there you go. Now, as we wrap up this segment, Jeremy Corbyn, let's just take a break. Yeah, that's because my shrink tells me I've got to, every time I say his name, I've got to pause and just count to 10. Because that way I don't explode. But he's joined Rebecca Long Bailey in a campaign video. Why is he still in the vid? Go away! Oh, gosh. Do you know what? I love Tony Blair, you know, whatever. But it's the same thing. Why do they? Just go away. Once you've had your time in the sun, right? You've been the leader. You've done your thing. Go away. Like, I don't want to keep on seeing you. Now, what? Okay, so you've got Rebecca Long Bailey, who's desperately trying to shake off this continuity candidate, you know, label she's been given. And she goes, her and her political advisor sit down and they go, so how do we do this? And then they go, I know, let's get Jeremy Corbyn on a video. Why would you think that's a good idea? Anyways, he joins her for a video. And I think what he did in that video was crystallize and confirm that she is definitely the continuity candidate. And thus, she's somebody who I think everyone voting should avoid. Now, of course, we'll find out who wins the Labour leadership later on this next week, actually. Oh, gosh, it feels like forever. But we find out in April. Yeah, still one more month of mindless, uninteresting, unengaging debating still to come. And finally, the last update for you is about American elections. It's been a while because we haven't put out a podcast for 2 weeks. But just some updates for you. Elizabeth Warren destroyed Bloomberg. I can't even tell you what happened. You have to watch it. Bernie Bros are being finally highlighted. Bernie Bros are basically supporters of Bernie Sanders who are like militant. It's kind of like Momentum, but even worse. Like they attack people. I mean, if you say, you know, and it really annoys me just how intolerant liberals supposedly are. You know, you're meant to be a liberal, but the minute someone doesn't agree with you on something, they literally attack you online. So they've been highlighted. Somebody, for some reason, the Independent reported this news story that Michelle Obama, should she run for president? No! No! Why would she run for president? Why? Like, I don't get it. It's not a popularity contest. Why would she run? I remember when Kanye West said he was going to run and people were clapping. What? He doesn't... Can he... What? I just need to relax. No, she should not run. She should write her books and do like her wellness tour thing and just stay there. What? If you're the leader of a country, I know Donald Trump seems to have changed the game, but if you're the leader of a country, you are the principal legislator. That's what you are. So why would The Rock run for office? I don't get it. Why would The Undertaker be the what? This makes no sense. But there you go. And of course, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on which way you think, Pete Buttigieg, and he tells us that in his Twitter bio, by the way, he tells us how to pronounce it. It's Buttigieg. 38-year-old former mayor from South Bend, Indiana, he's dropped out of the race and he will now be supporting Joe Biden, who right now is, he's as interesting as a bowl of porridge. No one cares about him running. He doesn't inspire anybody, but there you go. Now, that's a bumper news update for you. And that's for all the people who say, Mike, you don't talk about news enough. It's all about the guests, all about news. Well, now you've got your good news bumper. And I hope that's going to see you through a couple of weeks. But that's everything that's happening. That's a catch up. And now we meet our guests. So I was literally, I think 2 days ago.
Yeah, Saturday.
I went to an event at the Anchor Coffee House in Manchester. I was a judge on a panel. For a poetry competition all about youth violence, and I left really encouraged. Actually, it was really interesting. I really enjoyed it. So I thought, well, let's hear a bit about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about you and what you're doing and why you're passionate about not youth violence. When you say that, it sounds like is he passionate about youth violence? But anyways, so tell us a bit about you, Famous, and that is your name. Probably should start there, right? Your name is Famous.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself and a bit about that that event before we kind of get into it.
All right. Yeah, so my name is Famous, as in F-A-M-O-U-S, just to be clear.
F-E-I-M-O-Y-S or something like that.
Yeah, my name is Famous Dekeri, and I studied in Manchester. Well, in Manchester, by the University of Salford, and I studied economics and business.
Is
and
that then, where the coronavirus is?
Believe
is
me,
it near
not.
Bury?
It's not near.
Just not. Making.
I
did hear you coughing earlier.
I mean, you should have your mask on if you're that scared of it.
I know.
I went to the University of Salford, studied economics and business, and I went ahead to do my master's in management. And I also worked for the University of Salford Students Union for 2 years as the business and law officer. But now I run a social enterprise called Cord UK, which is basically all about social impact and helping young people develop the levels of social cohesion, integration as well as social mobility. And we basically organize different events to facilitate that. And one of the events that we've started is a competition called Pen Game, which was the one you attended on Saturday.
Pen Game?
Yes.
Already like, folks are thinking, Pen Game?
Yeah, what's that about?
That mean? What's that? Game and a pen?
Yeah, it's basically about your creative writing skills, how you can use your creative talents to address different social issues. So we are basically trying to create a new wave of talents who see the need to use what they have to address the situation that and the problems that they see around them. And the topic for Saturday was youth violence, and we thought it was a good place to start, seeing all the different, you know, news we hear on the hear every day, of like young people killing themselves, gang culture, and all these things. So we had a bunch of creatives from across the UK. Some came from London, Nottingham, Manchester, and they came to share different pieces around the topic of youth violence. Some personal experiences, some experiences of their friends. Some people spoke about, you know, what the government could do better. And it's really one of its kind, and we're really glad that it kicked off.
It was really good. I mean, the first time typically you do an event, you know, there's like four people there, you know, and they're from your family. It's like, it's your mom, your auntie, and, you know, and they're just there pretending it's great. They're like, oh, this is lovely. That kind of thing. The truth is, it sucks. Whereas yesterday was really good. It was packed out, you know, just sold out event, lots of interesting people sharing their stories, you know. And it's so good because yesterday, just literally late last night, it would have been probably 10, I put on an interview with Kayade. Well, it was ZZ Mills's show. I never watch these things, but for some reason YouTube algorithms, we'll talk about another day, they brought it right to the side. So I clicked on it, and it was Kayode Iwumi, I think his name is. This is the guy who did a show called Roll Safe. He has a show on BBC now called Enterprise, which I don't watch personally. I don't find it funny, unfortunately, but I'm sure other people do. I mean, yeah. But and he was talking about, you know, kind of Roll Safe and why he ended it and stuff like that. And he was saying that, you know, it was very funny. It was very good when it was like an independent project he did. And then it went over to the BBC and blah, 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 blah. Anyways, the point he was making was that right now, or I think ZZ asked him, I imagine that's actually her name. Sounds like I'm talking about the restaurant.
ZZ Mills.
But she asked him, like, do you think there's enough, like, diversity of, like, black experiences being pushed online?
Yeah.
Because, you know, stuff like Top Boy, stuff like... what was it? It's Blue Story,
yeah.
And you know, I know folks who are part of it and stuff like that. Like, it's amazing, it's great, but is that the only narrative we keep on hearing about? And you know, and is it important to diversify essentially narrative? Yeah. I don't know where that question came from, but I watched it last night into my head. So, what are your thoughts on that? Because people might go, oh, here's another event about youth violence. You know, youth crime. Yes, we need to stop stabbing each other. What do you say to people who say, like, just talk about something else?
Yeah, I mean, funny enough, I'd seen a tweet from ZZ Mills a while ago, where she was talking about why do we keep focusing on the gang stuff and the violence and all that. And I got where she was coming from. But I also think that for those people who this is their daily lived experience, then for them, it would never be enough.
It'll never be boring.
Yeah, it will never be boring for them because they're really passionate about it. They really want to see an end to it. And so therefore they will just continue to push for it. But for Cord, what we are even doing is that we are addressing different social issues. It just so happened that this for February, the topic was youth violence, and we thought it would be good to address it. For the next coming months, we're going to be talking about different topics. For this month, actually, the topic for this month's competition will be coming out this week. And for those who may not know, Pen Game is actually a competition for singers, poets, and spoken word artists. They get to win like cash prize. So someone went home with some good money on Saturday. And
well, you say good money. it's a good cash prize, but you know, good money is, you know, I don't know, £40,000. Is that? I mean, it's not there.
I mean, good money. No,
the funders will come in. After this podcast.
Yeah, we strongly believe that.
You know, that's such a good point you made about the fact that for some people, so because I, you know, that actually checks me a bit, because I've often said the whole we need new narratives, right? But that's because I've grown out of this. When I was young, and you know, I was really young, Bullet Boy was a film I used to watch, and all these Kidulthood. These are things that really spoke to me.
Yeah,
to me, as in I watched it and I thought, wow. But now that I'm not that age, like I'm not on the road. Like I don't take public transport. Like I'm not part. So you know, when I say stuff like, "Oh, this is boring," we need a new narrative. It's like, yeah, for you. But there's a young guy out there who's 16 who sees like a film called Armani, for instance, by a friend of mine who like wonderful guy. But anyways, he puts out a film called Armani. That means a lot to them. Yeah. And that's, as you said, it's their day in.
Lived experience.
You can't say this is boring, we need new. It's like, no, well, that we still need a good large majority of people talking about knife crime, and we need new narratives for folks who are older, for instance.
And I think for those who have sort of grown out of that phase, then maybe they then need to pick up the responsibility of then releasing new content, I guess, or now speaking about something. Now speaking about something that they now, you know, experience in their new environment. So I think that would be a good way to sort of bring that diversity into.
And it's true, because another thing Kayode said is when we do have the different narratives, people don't support it.
Yeah. Because everyone wants to hear
about wants the knife crime, right? So you're like, oh, here's a young black couple, you know, trying to get on the property ladder. Ever's that boring? Oh, here's a young, you know, two young black boys trying to start a business. Like, yeah, boring.
Yeah.
But then when it's like they killed each other, everyone's like yes.
When do we buy tickets?
it's really interesting, because we spoke about it as well during, you know, that Oscar so white season, when people were kind of boycotting the Oscars, because we, you know, what they were saying is, how come black people only win Oscars for being slaves? That's it, all we win. It's when we play slaves, they're like, brilliant. Oh, Lupita, what a brilliant. Literally. But when it's a black superhero, like you saw in Hancock, to be, that was a terrible film as well, right? It was Will Smith doing his two emotions. I struggle with Will Smith, because I love him, and I think he's a great guy and great public, whatever. But on acting chops, I'm sorry, the man only conveys two emotions. He's either sad or he's happy. That's pretty much it. there's very little. And I noticed, actually, during Pen Game, someone made that point as well, like, who are the best actors? And they're like, Denzel's a great actor. Yes, he is. That's undeniable.
Yeah.
But does Denzel have a range? No. He's always Denzel.
It's always the same. Every movie.
So I was like, oh, he's got a range. I was like, range? It's like, likewise with Michael B. Jordan. Great guy. Wish him well. No, if you ask me objectively, he's black, you know, we love him, but does he have range? No. He's Michael B. Jordan. But anyway, sorry, that's just me getting angry. But I think you're doing important work, and I do hope, you know, I hope more people can you know, come to the Pen Game. But how else can folks interact with what you're doing? Because you said before that your goal is to harmonize
communities,
right? Yeah. To bring people together.
Yeah.
And in an age where we're so divided, I think I think we've never been more divided, especially since Boris Johnson's election, but equally around racial lines, stuff like that. I just wondered to myself, like, folks always shy away from race, and I don't.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you a difficult question then, which is, to what degree is your friendship group, like, biracial, or wrong word, but diverse racially?
As it stands at the moment, if I was to do it in terms of the percentages, it would be maybe 90 percent black.
White? Oh, because I go, whoa, how have you done that?
Okay. About 90% black and 10% white. Reason being that, you know, the people who I always see around my environment, they're black. So I tend to obviously gravitate towards that. But more recently, to be honest, my church, the Ramp Church, MCR, we, you know, it's a very diverse body of people, which has allowed me to start to make, you know, friends, white friends as well. I mean, I already had like white friends, but it was just like,
oh, one guy from Salford. Peter from Salford, right?
Not even. I mean, a few. We don't talk every day, but we know what it is. We're cool. So it's that kind of situation,
right?
But even now, I know I'm closer to more of my white friends now.
Really?
From church. Yeah.
I see them every week. I've always, you say you see them every week.
I see them every week, yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean you're close to them.
Not not really, really close, but it's a step to the right direction. Yeah.
No, I'm interested because I've always wondered about it. Like, you know, because, you know, we exist to bring people out of echo chambers, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, on race, I always wondered to myself, like, why is it that, you know, I don't want to get nailed to the cross for, like, generalizations here, but, like, why is it that black people or even white people struggle to kind of bridge that racial gap and actually have not colleagues or folks they shake, but actual friends that you're like, you know, my friendship group is really diverse on race, especially because that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think personally, it's the same what I mentioned earlier, but it's about lived experiences.
Yeah.
When people, not saying that people with two different, you know, life experiences can't be friends, but I think what most people don't realize is, like, for a black person and a white person, their lives are, you know, they're totally different. And so when it comes to things like banter, when it comes to things like how we speak and, you know, a lingo and all these different things, it differs a lot, and that could be a barrier as well. There's sometimes where you just have to laugh at a joke just because you want to just keep the conversation flowing, but really and truly you don't find it funny.
I think that's probably like a human problem where you just, you know, it happens at work all the time where you're so, you've faked laugh so much you actually don't know it's real anymore. Like, you just, it's like a social cue laughing. Yeah. If someone says something, they make a face, you're like, great one, Clive, but you don't care. Yeah, no, I found in my personal life, I think you're right, it's definitely about lived experiences. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's also about being willing to be, like, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, like, being the person who kind of breaks the mold a bit. Because if we're quite frank, you know, friendship groups are typically the one place you feel safe and you can kind of express yourself and, you know, you go out for a drink, you could be your full authentic self. And work is typically a place where, you know, you're not your authentic self because you'd get fired. You know, if you were
come as you are,
if you came as you are, there would be a get out kind of thing, right? So the idea of having your friendship circle becoming a kind of place where you're uncomfortable for the sake of making more friends of a different race, I think for a lot of people, it just was their heart. They're like, no, like my friendship group is the one group where I can retreat to. There's a little tribe I can go to. Yeah. And that's why I always wondered to myself, you know, when I go on all these panels and events where they talk about racial harmony and stuff like this, and I give all my thoughts and, you know, my master's was on this topic. So, I, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I think to myself, when I'm driving home, I'm like, do I really believe these things? Like, and do I practice them?
Yeah.
You know, as someone who's like, echo chambers. Do I just run back to my own small echo chamber and be like, you know, just performing? But the truth is, I love my black group and I'll never leave my black group. You know, something to think about, I think.
Definitely. It's just about being, you have to be ready to be uncomfortable if you want to expand that circle. And one thing I've noticed as well is that people then have different friendship groups. For some black people, for instance, like, they probably have their white friends group, so when they want to retreat to that, they retreat to that, and then they come back to their black friends like, oh yeah, you can't believe what happened in the other group, and then maybe to their white friends, and they then go, you can't believe what happened in the other group. So there's some people who are sort of like playing two different communities, and I think we just need to learn to sort of harmonize these communities.
I think it's what's so good, and this isn't even me trying to do promo, but it's what's so good about what you do. I think we need more of it. In the last podcast episode, we were speaking, me and Alfie, who's white. Look at that, 50-50. When we were talking about just the importance of understanding that, like, in life, you can stay with what you know, or you can venture out and you have no clue what you might find.
Yeah.
So those white people, or even just people who disagree with you, who don't see things the way you see them, just, you know, there's so much stuff that they have to offer you that you just never would get access to unless you're willing to kind of venture down that path that's not really comfortable, but will actually help you long term. It will actually make your life much, much better. And on a political front, of course, we talk about echo chambers and the importance for democracy that we have heterogeneous, you know, back and forths, and that's lovely. But I think on a personal level, it's actually very enriching to step out and to interact with people who you didn't think you'd like. There's some people I'm friends with now who I know, you know, if you put them on a spreadsheet for me and said, Mike, would you be friends with them? I'll be like, nope. Absolutely not. They're just not my type of people. But they've really enriched my life in ways I can't quite, you know, put a finger on.
Yeah.
I'm joking. In ways I didn't quite understand. But there you go. So what's coming up next? What can people look out for?
Yeah.
And how can they kind of connect with you and what Chords UK does online?
Yeah. So we've got Pen Game coming up, around two of the competition, coming up at the end of this month. And the dates will be out this week on all our social media platforms. On Facebook, just search Chord UK. On Instagram, it's Chord UK. On Twitter, it's Chord UK _. You can also contact us by email, info@chordonline.co.uk. We have a website, chordonline.co.uk. And we also have another event coming up, which is called Future Me, which is basically a platform for young people to meet young working professionals for brunch. And they get to, you know, ask all the questions they want to ask about the different fields they want to go into. And then these young professionals can then give them advice in terms of what steps they took to get to where they are today, the ups and the downs, you know, what the constants, you know, in the job and all these different things. So we think that's a very good platform for young people, seeing that we want to build a community of young people who are focused, knowing the career path they want to go down. And so that's going to be coming up. We also have an event called ANUP, which is called for a night of praise. So prior to Chord as being a company, I used to organize different Christian events for different Christian groups across the country. And when we registered Chord as a company, we decided to bring that into what we do as well. So if you are somebody who's interested in music, networking, meeting people, and as a Christian praising God, we would really love to see you there. We do it twice a year, and we get about around 100 people each time. But this time around, we're going for 200. So if you're listening to this podcast, we want to see you there.
Oh gosh, well, that's lots of events. I always wonder when we do announcements if people are like taking notes, because
I don't remember.
Like,
it
happens like when I go on a whatever, and they're like, "Oh, so how can we find you?"
Yeah.
Like now, I just give them one thing and just go, "If you find me on that," because the idea that there's someone with a notepad, like, could you repeat the last one? There you go. But folks, thank you so much for listening. We've got some exciting news to share, which is that we've got lots and lots of articles coming out. I'm joking. That's not it. That happens anyways. So go ahead if you're interested in finding out about news and just, you know, just lots of cool events and things happening. It's tcsnetwork.co.uk. Now, the fun thing is this month, as a thank you to all our wonderful listeners and subscribers, we are putting on a debate in the House of Lords. Ooh. It will be about the future of young people and politics, how tech and the internet and how polarization and how big data is threatening democracy. Lots of high-profile speakers, but also a chance for you to meet some of us. Exciting, right? So if you'd like to know when tickets, because there is only a few tickets, because it's in the House of Lords, so we can't have everyone there. There's probably some crazy people listening. You can't come if you're crazy. I'm kidding. So you can go ahead to tcsnetwork.co.uk/join, and you can be first to find out when tickets go live. And that way, and it will be free, by the way. These are free tickets. So all you got to do is register, and you can come along to that wonderful debate. On top of that, we've started our YouTube channel. YouTube's very difficult to get off the ground. So again, if you're interested in politics, interviews, just people breaking down current affairs, then go ahead and follow us on YouTube. That's it, folks. This is it. All that's left is now for you to share. So if you listen this far, thank you so much. The hashtag is LTCS. Let me know what you think. But equally, share this podcast. You can click I'm sure there's some button you can click to share it. Help us do so. Help us bring more people into this wonderful journey. And I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will see you. I won't ever see you. Unless you can take a picture and send it to me. Actually, don't do that. That sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen. Just tweet me and I can interact with you. But we shall see you the same time next week. Take care, folks.